In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is baptized. One of the themes that we hear in the hymnography for the Feast of Theophany is the theme of the Lord coming to crush the heads of the dragons. To crush the heads of the dragons, to defeat the serpent. We hear this all the way back, this theme, all the way back in the beginning of the book of Genesis, when God comes to Adam and Eve and he speaks the curses, which, as we know, are therapeutic curses for Adam and Eve, but he speaks a word concerning the serpent, the one who tempted, the one who led Adam and Eve astray. And he says that though the serpent will be at the heel, kind of biting at the heel of Adam, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. So this is the promise of Adam's deliverance, his deliverance through the seed of the woman. And as we know, that seed of Eve, that descendant of Eve is our Lord Jesus Christ, he who comes into the world to destroy the powers of darkness. So we hear this theme in the hymnography, and it's picked up again after Genesis in Psalm 73. Psalm 73 says, "Thou didst crush the head of the dragon." Thou didst crush the head of the dragon. And this is the phrase that keeps getting repeated in the hymnography. And this morning, in the canon, when we heard the canon at Orthros, we heard this, that God the Word goeth a-hunting in the lairs of dragons. God the Word goeth a-hunting in the lairs of dragons. He's seeking the enemy, the dragon, who held us captive, who wishes to destroy us, and the Lord is going hunting. He's going to put that dragon to death. He's going to crush it. And of course, this is all tied in also with the Lord's baptism and the understanding that the Hebrew people had that the water was the realm of the demons, was the realm of the dragons. It was the place of death, right? Which was why many of them were very afraid of the water, of going on the sea. Because there was this idea that if you died at the sea, in the sea, you would go down to the place of the demons and so on. So we have our Lord Jesus Christ stepping into the water in the Jordan and crushing the head of the dragon. All of this speaks to us of the great spiritual battle which takes place, which our Lord Jesus Christ has inaugurated, and which, of course, in one sense, he's already won. We already know the end of the story. We know that our Lord has already defeated death. He's already risen from the dead. And yet the battle continues because the war wages in each of our hearts. The war wages for the sake of all people, for the sake of the whole world. And as long as there are human beings living in this world, tempted by sin, having to exercise their free will and struggle against temptation, there will be a battle. There will be a fight. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the leader of this battle. Yesterday, we went and we did the outdoor blessing at the Red River. This is a beautiful custom. And oftentimes, you know, people in local communities get excited about this. You have the big blessing of the waters in Tarpon Springs, Florida, and in places around the world, and you'll see news articles about this. They'll report it in the news, right? And it's like this kind of beautiful, quaint folk custom that these Orthodox people are doing, and it's kind of a curiosity, and everybody wants to go and see what they're doing. But we, as Orthodox Christians, understand that this isn't simply a curiosity, that this isn't simply some kind of folk custom. No. When we go out and we bless the waters, we are battling against the powers of darkness. That's what we're doing. We are doing battle. We are entering into warfare. And this is something incredibly serious. Now, that doesn't mean that it isn't joyful. When we baptize a baby, it's joyful. When we bless the holy water in the church, it's joyful. When we go out and we do the blessing of the outdoor water, it's joyful. When we do home blessings, we enter into this spiritual warfare with joy, certainly. But it is warfare. Every time we do a baptism, and for example, when we make a catechumen as well, we make a catechumen or we do a baptism, what kinds of prayers are we doing at the very beginning? Exorcism prayers. So we just did exorcism prayers to make a new catechumen. And when we do a baptism, we begin with an exorcism. This is no joke. We're doing battle with the enemy. We're fighting against the dragon. Now, we don't fight alone. In fact, we couldn't possibly even begin to wage that warfare if Christ hadn't come and begun it, and if he weren't present with us as we're fighting. We put on Christ, right? When we're baptized, we put on Christ. And it's Christ who is victorious. And we enter into that victory. But this is something deadly serious. It's no joke. So there's this beautiful harmony and this beautiful balance and this beautiful juxtaposition, we could say, of the joy that we have in Christ and of the reality of the warfare which continues. So we enter into battle joyfully. With hearty laughter, we go slaying our enemies. You see, this is the spirit that we must have as Christians, recognizing that God is the victor over the powers of darkness and engaging in that warfare with serious purpose. In the gospel today, we hear these words. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ heard that John had been put in prison, and he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So this is now quoting from the book of Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So this is the region, Isaiah is saying, this is the region of the Gentiles. Not God's people, but the people who have been led astray. The people, as he now says, who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So you have this idea that's being expressed here first by Isaiah, and then it's being repeated by Matthew in his gospel, that the people of the world, God's people, whom he created in the beginning, who've been led astray by the demons, have been led into a state of darkness. And now they're dwelling in the shadow of death. And so they're in need of the Lord to come, and this is exactly what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate the Lord, the light coming into the world. At Theophany, we celebrate the Lord entering into the water in order to cleanse the water so that the water might cleanse all of us and the whole world. We celebrate the light coming into the midst of the darkness and how upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. We also heard in the epistle to the Ephesians today how Christ descended to the captives and then took the captives captive. You understand? We were being held captive by the enemy, right? This is the language. It says in the Psalms that the Lord took captivity captive. He came to us who were being held as captives, right? Prisoners. And he brought us captive himself in order to free us. He took prisoners, so to speak, from the evil one so that he could free us. And so St. Paul speaks of this in the Epistle to the Ephesians, saying that the Lord has ascended, leading a host of captives. It's beautiful, this image of the Lord delivering us from the power of darkness, from the dragon. So we're called to participate in this battle, in this setting free of the world and of all of humanity. We're called to participate in that. to enter into it. Now, this battle that we wage, this war that we wage, this battle that we fight, spiritual warfare, may not always look particularly romantic. Like, we might have kind of romantic, exaggerated ideas of how spiritual warfare should look. But the reality is, it takes place in our humdrum, everyday life, in the kind of, you know, everyday experiences of life. When we have, you know, water pipes that freeze and burst and a leak in our house, how are we going to respond? How are we going to respond, you know? Are we going to respond with prayer and trust in the Lord and peace because we know that God is with us? Or are we going to give in to the enemy and grow impatient and irritable with the people around us and angry and all of these things? We do battle in our struggles with other people, in our interactions that are painful and difficult. We're called to do battle when we have small children and we have to get up in the middle of the night to nurse them or to rock them back to sleep. We're called to do battle when, we struggle with things at work, when there are distractions and we're trying to focus and concentrate. We're called to do battle, not to let it irritate us, not to let the enemy win, because these things constantly happen in our lives. We go to work and there's stress, there's pressure, there are frustrations. How will we respond? Will we let the enemy win the victory? Or will we call upon the name of the Lord so that he can win the victory in us? This is what we must do, brothers and sisters. So we fight and we battle, and we do battle with these weapons. St. Paul, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, says these words. Very simple and well worth memorizing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. These are our weapons, among others, with which we do battle. Along with holding these weapons, we also must keep in mind, and this is very important, that we must struggle day in, day out, minute by minute, every day, to be morally pure, to keep our hearts pure. Why? Because when we embrace impurity, when we give in to the devil's temptation, then we give him rights over us. You know, the Lord came to set us free, but when we give in to impurity, we make ourselves captives again. We give ourselves over again to the control of the demons. And what happens when we do that? Well, we have two choices. Either to wallow and to remain in that state of captivity, or to recognize we don't have to stay there. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and he's broken open the doors of Hades. And there's no reason why we need to stay there. All we have to do is to be willing to get back up and to walk forth and to go to the Lord and to beg for his help and his forgiveness. And so we make confession, we return to the Lord in repentance. And so, what words do we hear our Lord Jesus Christ saying in the gospel passage we just heard? After St. Matthew quotes Isaiah and says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the regions in the shadow of death, light has dawned." What are the very next words? "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" This word, repent, is the most beautiful word in the world because it means that there's hope for us. The Lord would not tell us to repent if there were no hope. The Lord would not tell us to repent if he refused to forgive us. He desires more than anything to forgive, to restore, to heal us. We only have to be willing. And that's what that repent means. Be willing. Come to the Lord to be restored. And he will restore you. So, those who have fallen must simply get back up. and go forth to the Lord and ask for His mercy and have faith that He will have mercy. And so we fight, and we fight not alone, and we fight not by our own power, but we fight with Christ and in Christ, and constantly humbling ourselves before Christ and begging Christ for mercy so that He will be victorious in us. And every time we face discouragement, every time we face distraction, every time we face temptation, we turn to prayer. We call on the name of the Lord. We, in spite of everything, we say our daily prayers, you know, in spite of everything, all of the difficulties, the flat tire or whatever else, we come to church. We come to church, and when we do that, when we persist, when we say, Lord, I will come and I will serve You, and I beg for Your grace, and I'm not going to let the evil one trip me up. I'm not going to let anything prevent me from turning to You. And even if, I don't know, somehow physically I'm prevented from coming, nevertheless, nothing can prevent my heart from coming to You, Lord. And when we say that, and when we persist, then every single time we win a little victory. Every single time. And brothers and sisters, every single day we're called on to win these victories, to fight this fight. So may we rejoice in the one who vanquishes the dragons. And may we join him in fighting against the darkness, in fighting the good fight, knowing that he has already won the victory, and that if we simply persist and remain faithful to him, and turn back to him again every time we fall away, that he will indeed win the victory in us also. And may we glorify our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.